Ladies and gentlemen, good morning from Hamburg and the team of Deutsche EuroShop. This is Willem Wellner speaking, and today I present you our results for the first 9 months of the year 2019. I'm together on the call with my colleague Olaf Borkers and Patrick Kiss. As usually, I would like to start with the operations, and here beginning with the retail turnover of our tenants. On slide 2 of the presentation, you'll find the overall number and the breakdown by retail segment. The numbers overall have visibly improved since the first half year 2019 on the basis of a positive Q3, and most of the segments show positive growth numbers. On a like-for-like basis, our German retailers' turnover improved by 1.8% and the absolute retail turnover increased by 0.5%. In the first half of the year, these numbers were flat. Looking at the different retail segments, we see a spread between the performances of the various segments. And again, on a like-for-like basis, food catering improved by an impressive 11.2%, followed by health beauty, which improved by 5.9%. Shoes and leather goods ended up with plus 2.9%. Fashion, which accounts approximately for 40% of our space and 30% of our sales, came out with a plus of 1.7% after a slight minus of 0.1% still after the first 6 months of this year. Sports, plus 2.3%. General retail, the segment includes bookstores, toys, household goods, and jewelries, for example, increased by 1%. Food, plus 0.8%, and electronics, plus 0.6%. All those segments showed also a positive turnover development. Department stores and hypermarkets, minus 1.1%, and services, minus 4.3%, were the only segments which showed negative numbers, but again, overall, a positive picture. Our rent-to-sales ratio in Germany now stands at 9.5%. While the retail turnover improved, customers' footfall decreased slightly in the first 9 months. We saw a minus of 1% in Germany and a plus of 1.4% for our international centers. This shows again the general trend that the customers seem to shop less often, but not necessarily less in volume. But it should also be mentioned that footfall numbers are again influenced by extraordinary effects. Some centers are currently impacted by special heavy construction works in the surroundings of our centers. Here, Magdeburg and Wetzlar may be mentioned. And in Poland, also the effects from the increasing number of Sunday closings is included. Coming from the operation to the financials and starting with the revenues on page 3. The numbers of the 9 months are in line with our expectations. Revenues increased slightly by 0.3% year-on-year to now 167.6 million. With the centers abroad growing stronger than the ones in Germany. As mentioned before, the leasing market in Germany continues to be demanding. We have seen some insolvencies of more sizable retail chains in 2019, some of which are, of course, also present in our centers. The most prominent being Gary Weber and Sport Vosswinkel. While there is an understanding with such retailers to continue the leasing relationship for many shops, in some cases at adjusted terms, some other shops have or will be returned to us and will then have to be released in due course. While the overall effect for the revenues for 2019 were very limited, the situation is to be addressed when we are looking at 2020, and I will come to that later. For your further information, our share of domestic and international sales stays unchanged, as you can see on this slide. For the next slide, we show you the development of our EBIT, and the EBIT increased slightly to now 146.9 million, which corresponds to a plus of 0.3%. While maintenance costs were lower than last year, write-downs on rents were a bit higher, but still on a very reasonable low level. That is approximately 0.75% of rent. The cost ratio stands now at 10.4%, well within the budgeted range. And just for your information, the further components of the center operational costs comprise the management fees and the non-allocable ancillary cost. Next is our financial results, and here you can track the changes on page 5. Such results improved by 3.1 million to minus 25.3 million. The major influence factors were the following. Interest expenses decreased by 2.5 million due to regular loan repayments and due to a favorable refinancing for the Altmarkt Galerie in Dresden and the Rhein-Neckar Zentrum. And additionally, as a one-off, other financial income improved substantially. As reported before, the effect came from a special interest income in relation to the trade tax refund. We have described this extraordinary effect in more detail in our annual report 2018. The overall change of the financial results of 3.1 million is visible following the financial bridge. From the left, we could start, and you see the effect of the 2.5 million lower interest cost. The operational and equity profit was slightly up by 0.2 million. This is also driven by slightly higher rents and lower interest costs. And the valuation of the swap contributed minus 2.4 million and plus 2.7 came from the one-off interest income, as just explained. The minority profit share remained almost unchanged on the prior year level. Now, this leads us to the EBT adjusted for valuation on page 6. The EBT rose from 118.1 to 121.6 million, which is a plus of 3%. Here, the standing assets contributed 3.2 million. And other and extraordinary financial income plus 2.7, and this was neutralized by a swap accounted for, accounting for minus 2.4 million. Excluding one-offs, EBT would have improved by 1.4%. Looking at IPRA earnings on page 7, that means the following. Operating profit, excluding valuation, increased from 107.8 to 120.5. Again, in particular due to the expected trade tax reimbursement of 9 million, but also because of the overall positive factors just mentioned before. And on a per share basis, IPRA earnings increased from 1.74 to 1.95. Excluding the non-recurring effects, the IPRA earnings would have improved by 3.7 million. That's a plus of 3.4% on a per share basis. An effect of 7 cent, and the IPRA earnings now stand at would have been then 1.81 euro. Now I'd like to come to the consolidated profit of the group on the next page. The consolidated profit increased by 11.1 million to 93.9 million. Again, you see the same effect. The one-off trade reimbursement contributed 9 million. And the profit after tax of other standing assets improved the result by a further 3.6 million. The valuation result accounted for plus 1.7 million of the change, and the changes resulting from interest swap contributed minus 2 million. Other effects, another minus 1.2 million, such as deferred taxes. Earnings per share increased from 1.33 to 1.51. Excluding the one-offs, EPS would have increased by 4 cents to 1.37 euro. On page 9, we have outlined the development of the FFO. And for the first 9 months of the year, the FFO, which excludes the valuation results and the one-offs, increased slightly from 110.7 to now 111.7, or on a per-share basis from 1.80 to 1.81. This is mainly due to the further interest savings on the existing financings. Please find the detailed FFO calculation on the right side of this slide. Coming from the P&L to our balance sheet on the next page, our total assets were slightly higher, now standing at 4.63 billion. That's an increase of 14.9 million compared to end of 2018. And as of end of September 2019, current and non-current financial liabilities stood at 1.5 billion, which was 2.5 million lower than at the end of 2018, following scheduled repayments. Non-current deferred tax liabilities increased by 14.3 million to 467 million, resulting from the regular tax depreciation. And as just reported, through planned tax restructuring of the group, we shall be able to reduce the deferred tax liability substantially by approximately 73 million euro. Also, for the purpose of completeness, other current, non-current liabilities and provisions remained rather unchanged. Total equity, including minorities, increased slightly by 2.2 million. As you can see, our equity ratio remains at a very strong 55.7%. And the consolidated LTV now sits at 31.6%. On a look-through basis, that is the LTV calculated fully proportionally according to the group share in all assets, the LTV now stands at 33.7%, also a very reasonable and low level, especially in the light of the market discussions about potential visible negative value adjustments in the shopping center industry in various markets. Now let's come to the financial debt on page 11 and 12. Then we give you some further information. Around 691 million euro of our consolidated bank debt mature in the next 5 years, and we still see, as in the past, potential for some reductions of our interest costs over the next years. Currently, our consolidated debt bears an average interest rate of around 2.5%, and given the current interest rate environment and quotations from banks, we could refinance our debt below 1.5% per annum for 10 years in Germany. Our weighted maturity of our loan portfolio now stands at 5.5 years, and on the right side of page 12, you will find some details for such loans that we have already extended. As an example, we have fixed a loan of close to 140 million at a rate of 1.68 interest rate. Such rate includes already forward fees also. And another loan has been extended for another 9 years, some 59 million at a rate of 1.09%. That was for Starbucks Center. After the detailed information for the Q3 numbers of 2019, let's now come to our company guidance. As just updated and released, we have confirmed our guidance for 2019, and for 2020, we have adjusted our guidance slightly. You will find that numbers on slide 13. For 2019, we expect that the revenues are within a range of 222 to 226. We are forecasting our EBIT between 194 and 198, and an EBT excluding valuation between 159 and 162 million. For the FFO, our forecast is €2.40 to €2.44 per share. Taking into account the positive tax effects that we expect from a planned restructuring of the Deutsche EuroShop Group from 2020 onwards, but also considering the noticeable slowdown of the economic growth and, in particular, the continuing demanding situation in the rental market, which on average leads to more lengthy reletting process, and also to certain rent adjustments, we have revised and in some cases slightly adjusted our forecast for the coming year. For 2020, we now expect revenues between 221 and 225. Before that range was 222 and 226. Earnings before interest and tax between 191 and 195. Before 194 and 198. And EBT excluding valuation between 159 and 162. Before that range was 161 and 164. And last but not least, the FFO between 150 and 153 million or €2.43 to €2.47 per share. This range remained unchanged. Our dividend forecast for both 2019 and 2020 is unchanged. For 2019, we plan to increase the dividend by 5 cents to €1.55, and for 2020, we also intend to increase the dividend to €1.60. After the numbers, now the lookout on page 14. One note to the transaction market at the beginning. While we are not very actively looking at the transaction market for the purpose of own acquisitions, we have not noticed many transactions that could be considered as direct comparables to our portfolio. The demand in the market remains rather dry now for already almost 2 years. With, as last year's supply exceeding demand for that asset class, we will observe the price impact going forward. Last year, the net initial yield for shopping centers, the so-called prime yield, has increased already for the first time for many years. But now coming back to the operations, we continue to roll out our more beautification and extra service programs. After the completion of 4 centers, the programs are now in progress for the centers in Dresden, Hamm, Dessau, and Neunkirchen. We have appreciated that quite a number of analysts and investors attended our Investors Day in September this year. They could convince themselves of what was accomplished with such programs at the Rhein-Neckar-Zentrum. As mentioned before, also the qualitative surveys show that our customers and shoppers like the new services and atmosphere improvements very much. As important as the continued physical development of our centers, we further make progress with the digital mall. That is our step forward to combine the on and offline shopping world. As of today, more than 1 million readily available products are already searchable on the new digital platform for the centers, as easy as on any other e-commerce platform. Once identified, our customers can reserve the product with a click of a button on their mobile device and pick it up later in the center. Or, that is a plan, in a too distant future to have it delivered from the center. While the later service is still to be developed, also the number of participating retailers has to increase further for the platform to become really relevant for our center customers. However, so far the progress made is very positive, and in the midterm we expect a lot from it. Up to date, more than half of our centers are already on the digital mall. The rest of the German centers shall join in the near future, presumably until end of the year or soon after. So for the operations, on the debt side, we are currently working on the refinancing of a total amount of 264 million of debt maturing 2020 and 21, and expect to sign them in the first half year of 2020. As before, the banking market is currently still positive for us, while it becomes obvious that the negative market sentiment of the sector is also considered and evaluated by the banks. However, we are confident to agree on attractive terms with the banks for the current refinancings, and we continue to maintain and deepen our close banking relations, especially with our core banks. Last but not least, and again, we look forward to the increases of our dividends, that is €1.55 for 2019 and €1.60 for 2020, these numbers as our guidance. Thank you for listening, and I'm happy to take questions now.
First question comes from the line of Kai Klose from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good morning. A couple of questions. The first one would be, could you indicate what was the letting volumes in the first 9 months and how the new letting rents compare, what is the extended rents compared to the previous ones? Second question would be regarding your ad hoc release from Tuesday. Could you indicate in which malls particularly you see pressure on rent or an extended negotiation on rents? Does it include malls where you have already spent additional capex, or is it for those primarily for those malls which haven't been modernized yet? And the last question would be, I didn't understand your comment correctly regarding the financing banks, that some financing banks had a cautious view or skeptical view on shopping centers. Maybe you could elaborate a bit more on that and how that may affect your refinancing schedule in 2019 and or 2020. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for the questions. Yeah, so far it's probably around 7 to 8% of the leasing volume. However, we have to include here the insolvency cases, which is mainly Gary Weber and Vosswinkel to be considered. And as we have said before, they account for approximately 1.7 and 1.1% of overall rent. So it gives a little different picture. However, those effects have no big impact on the numbers or our forecast for this year, but they will for next year. I hope that answers the questions. When you come on pressure on rents and the comparison to the centers there where we have conducted already at your service, I think there is no so close direct relations that you can say when you do some improvements in the centers in 1 year, you have to see it on the in the next year already. What I can say so far is, so maybe they have developed more or less within, let's say, the overall development looking in 2019 and the guidance for 2020. What we can say so far is that all the EDU service centers, when I shall call them that way, that are the centers where we have conducted the improvements already. We have elaborated on the good turnover and frequency development, or let's say turnover developments. Frequency were quite or a bit down. But looking at the turnovers, they are ahead of average, all of the four centers. Again, no scientific explanation, but a good sign that this has a positive impact. And then he was saying...
I didn't understand correctly. The insolvency of Gary Weber and Vosswinkel, you indicated among the main reasons for the lower revenue guidance for next year?
No, it was just one inclusion. Yeah, I mean, they have both closed their cases more or less at the end of the third quarter. We negotiated with some other, or let's say on some shops, whether they are closed or not on some rents, but they have an impact. I mean, they both together have 2.8% of our rents, and if you just take away, let's say, and you consider a bit longer releasing time for those spaces, they are mid-sized spaces, and the leasing take-up is not that bright at the moment, so it's part of the impact, but also other impacts, and we won't deny it, let's say the pressure on rents, especially in the textile and the electronics part, is there already. So it's not just blaming those twos, but it's also an additional impact, yeah, more... Let's say more uncommon as we had that before. And with the pressure on rents again, I said the EDU service centers perform, let's say, within looking at the rent numbers within the portfolio. But we don't have in our let's say portfolio any center that is tremendously outstanding on the positive or the negative side. So portfolio itself is going fine. We have some better ones. The flagships like Main Taunus or the ones in Central Eastern Europe like Olympia is doing very fine and Danzig. We have some other smaller ones like Hameln in English, Hameln in German that is doing a bit harder but no extraordinary effects that should be of major concern. Yeah. And then I think for the question of the banks, I would hand over to my colleague Olaf Borkers, and I hope I've covered the other questions.
Mr. Kirk, what we spoke about the banks is, and what we want to say is that banks are generally more selective in their financing related to retail. But if the shopping center is right, if the operator is right and the owner, then they are still very interested, and that is what we have present to them. That is what we still do. So we are still very optimistic that we can good and attractive financings for those ones which we now are negotiating and which fall due in the year 2021. I guess that margins of the banks will slightly decrease, but that's not a wonder if you calculate the last interest rate which we've paid for Zapark, Neunkirchen interest rate of 1.09%, you can see that is a margin which is very, very low and it can't be healthy for banks on a longer period.
Okay, last question. If you say banks are more selective, does it include that a number of your existing banks have rejected to extend or increase some of the loans which you have already had in this?
Oh, clearly not. Also in past, if you have to imagine, if we have a refinancing or a new financing, then we address to a double-digit number of banks. And we also in past always had some banks which denied to give an offer, which is also a question of margins which we asked for. We asked for loans with low margins, low interest rates. We ask for loans with low redemptions, and so not every bank is able or willing to give very good conditions for this. Look, for example, a bank which is fairly active in outside of Germany, they are not interested in doing business with us. Margins are by far too low for them. They can do much more better business from their view in other countries.
So you're optimistic that the expiry schedule will
yes.
be extended as
yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next question comes from the line of Michael Brown from Martin Curry. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I'd like to actually just follow on that question about banks. You said obviously you've got a number of banks that are still willing to lend you at low rates. And at low redemptions, but you didn't mention covenants. I wonder if you could say whether or not you're seeing a tightening of covenants from the banks.
I can tell you that the last two agreements which we signed were absolutely without any financial covenant.
And the next two?
And the next, we are still in the starting the process, and we signaled to banks that we are willing to accept financial covenants, but just based on cash flows. And we will see in the contest which bank will offer the best financial covenants for us. But it can't be better than having not any financial covenant in the loan agreement as we had in the last 12 months.
But we had also before some loans with financial covenants, but we look at them that we have extremely high headrooms, whether it's DCR, ICR, or LTVs, yeah, to give you that, let's say, that comfort. Yeah.
Sure. Can you give me an indication of the cash flow covenant that you are proposing?
It differs a lot, and also the individual calculation for the DCR differs, unfortunately, from bank to bank, so there is no standard.
And in terms of interest rates that you expect to renegotiate to, would the numbers that you've quoted in the presentation, that very low rate of sort of 1.09%, be indicative of the rates you expect to achieve?
Oh, currently, as we are still at the beginning, I expect interest rates below 1.5%.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
There are no further questions at this time, and I would like to hand back to Mr. Wilhelm Wellner for closing comments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, if there were no further questions, thank you for participating in the call. And, yeah, that's it from Hamburg so far. Bye-bye.